I want you to turn with me, please, if you would, to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 17. It is Proverbs chapter 17. Shot at the child of God, one right after the other. I'm obviously not going to take time to go back from the first part of the chapter to bring us up to date to where we're going to be here in this verse here tonight. It's very self-explanatory. It's easy to understand. And so we find some familiar words. It is words that you have heard before. And the Bible declares to us that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I wonder how many of you tonight can say that with me. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Can I hear you a little more? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Do you believe that? Do you really, really believe that? We read this verse of Scripture just in this very portion, and it is one that is going to carry us into another tough topic for today's church, not because it's that hard, but it's because it's one that very few of us have probably ever really heard a message preached on. What is the Lord really talking about right here? Well, I really just want to get this in our hearts, or try to let the Lord use this in some way by talking to you simply about this truth tonight. Now listen to me, church. It's time to start laughing again. It's time to start laughing again. Back when we were in Germany, there was a lady in our church. She was a very gracious lady, but she had the strangest laugh about her. She really did. I was talking to Dad about it some weeks ago, and we were trying to reminisce and think about it a little bit, and we couldn't pull all the details about names and faces and all that together. But we narrowed it down a little bit and, you know, got a little bit of an idea of where it was, but she had such a strange and an odd laugh about her. Matter of fact, I can still hear her now. I can picture her face right now as she was laughing. Now, she was a very likable lady. She was a lovely lady, but I am not joking when I tell you that her laugh, this is not a joke, when she laughed, it sounded literally like a donkey when she laughed. And the harder she got to laughing, the more it sounded like a donkey. That's exactly what she sounded like. She sounded like a donkey. So they would be in a large setting of group, and whenever they would be standing around and talking, all of a sudden she'd get tickled at something and she would go to laughing. It didn't take long before everybody else around her would start laughing, but not at what was said or done, but because of her laugh. The more everybody else laughed, the more she laughed, and the louder she laughed. And she'd start doing this, and she'd start turning around. And everybody would laugh harder and harder, and nobody really knew why they were laughing. Have you ever gotten tickled at something in your life, maybe something said or done, and maybe you only saw it, nobody else knew what was funny to you, and all of a sudden you went to laughing, and your laughter was a little bit catching to everybody else around you, and all of a sudden they went to laughing, you laughed harder, they laughed harder, and before long everybody was hysterically laughing, and nobody really knew why. Those really are great moments when that happens. But when was the last time that you had a really good laugh? I'm talking about a laugh that makes you tear up. I'm talking about a laugh that makes your rib cage and your muscles literally hurt the next day. Now, at the outset of this, I want to be really honest, really transparent with you here, and I just want to let you know that this passage of Scripture has preached to me time and time and time again over the past several weeks. Because when it comes to this matter of laughter, when it comes to this matter of a merry heart, just a happy disposition in general, I really struggle with this. I really have a hard time with it, sometimes. I so often struggle with it because I have a hard time trying to develop it and trying to be consistent in it. And when I break it down and I really try to think about it, I cannot really find a reason why. Because God has been so much better to me than I could ever begin to deserve. Why can I not smile more? Why can I not laugh more? And when I think about it, I feel convicted by it. Not only convicted, but I'm even further, I am embarrassed by the times that I have allowed the devil, through the circumstances or whatever it might be of life, to steal my laugh. it bothers me. And over the past few weeks, this has been a difficult study for me, a revealing study for me. Now, this is a very tough topic for many of us because we are all very different people. We all have very different personalities. We are coming from different stages and places of life. We are dealing with all different circumstances of life. And sometimes nobody else can understand where you really are at this point in your life, and you can't understand where I'm really at. But one of the things that we need to learn from this passage of Scripture is, the best that I understand as I study it, God did not give an exemption here or an exemption there not to have a merry heart in the middle of all of the circumstances of life. He knew that we were going to deal with all the stages and all the stuff of life. So in a very blanket way, all the Lord simply does is says, a merry heart, it doeth good like a medicine. In other words, if we will just learn to start laughing more, somehow things are going to get better in this life that we are in. With whatever you're faced with, with whatever your struggle is, with whatever your challenge is, if we will just learn to laugh more, it's somehow going to get better. So can I tell the church tonight, it is time to start laughing again. I want to break this down, and I want you to study it with me this evening. Think first of all with me about how that there is the pressures of adversity. The pressures of adversity, and I'm talking here about stress. Listen to this. Researchers from the University of Michigan say that the average child laughs 150 times a day, but the average adult laughs 15 times a day. That is a 90% drop. What is it that happens between childhood and adulthood that causes us to lose our joy? That causes us to lose our happiness. I mean, our overall optimistic outlook on life. What is it that happens from childhood to adulthood that causes us just to lose our laugh? We would probably all give a different answer for that from our own specifics of life, wouldn't we? But I think it can all be summed up and simplified by simply saying this. Life just happens. Life happens. And sometimes laughter does not come as easily as it once did. This should be something that we really try to ask the Lord to help us with, because the Lord, He has told us that we've got to have a merry heart. But if you're living in this life today, and if you've lived in this life for very long at all, you know that it's hard sometimes to walk on this journey, isn't it? And you also need to know that God has already told us that life is not always going to be a bed of roses. It's not always going to be a barrel of laughs. A matter of fact, Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Let me interpret that this way. If you're saved, you're going to have some problems. I'm going to have some struggles in life. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, adversity is coming. He says your strength is small. Listen to what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. Now listen to this phrase. As though some strange thing happened unto you. What is Peter actually saying here? He's saying, hey, believer, hey, child of God, there are going to be some things in your life that are going to surprise you. There's going to be some things that you never saw coming. Some things you were not prepared for, you never wanted in life. But adversity should not be one of them. Sorrow should not be one of them. It's clear that adversity is just a part of living. And you and I have lived through a lot of it, no doubt in these lives. It is an irreversible truth. And so the bottom line is, we just need to learn to manage it. We need to understand that it is here to stay. Now listen closely to me, because this will help us dissect this just a little bit more to help us understand it. It is not the adversity that is hurting us so bad. It is the stress from that adversity, mostly because of our lack of management of the adversity. And because of our ability not to look at it and view it from God's perspective, but yet only our perspective. You see, we are living right now and we are allowing ourselves to be stressed out about all these different things. But what we are missing, friends, is stress will literally kill a body. And if you know anything about the human body, then you know that that is a fact. Stress will kill the body. Did you know that there is a very real condition? It is called psychosomatic syndrome. Did you know that? Psycho meaning the mind, somatic meaning the body. And what this condition actually means is it all starts with something that begins to consume our mind. And the worry and the anger and the self-pity and the guilt and the regret and the emotion of all of it causes so much stress that it literally makes us mentally and physically sick. Our bodies will literally get sick. Brother John, how exactly does that happen? Did you know that it is a scientific fact that when our bodies begin to experience stress, that our blood pressure rises, our blood sugar goes up, our glands begin to swell, our lymphatic glands, they begin to shrink, our arteries, they begin to tighten up. Did you know that? Our stomach acids begin to dump more and more acids out into our bodies. It thus creates ulcers that we will have. And as time continues to go on, fats will be drawn out of our bodies. They will be dumped into the bloodstream. They are going to line the walls of our arteries. This leads to heart disease. All of this stress combined of our mind and of our body, it will eventually lead to an exhaustion. And if that exhaustion is not dealt with and taken care of, that will lead to further disease and it will eventually lead to death. Out of concern of the people that we love and we see that they are in these conditions and we see that they are struggling in their life, we'll go up to them and we'll say, hey, laugh it up, lighten up. Hey, laugh it up just a little bit. Have a good time. It's going to be all right. Smile again and just go and have a good time. But here's the problem. As we attempt to do that, we really don't know what that individual is going through and they don't understand why you can't have a little bit more concern and a little bit more pity, if we can say, on their very real condition. There are people in here today, you're just shaken because of what is going on in life. And you're finding it so much harder in 2024 to laugh than it was in 2019 or 2015 or straight on down the line. You just can't find reason to smile and be happy and have joy and laugh as much as you once did. I'm sure that there's those listening to me here this evening that you are stressed out right now because of family burdens that you're carrying and you've lost your laugh. There are those that are stressed out because of financial hardship and you have lost your laugh. You've got regret over decisions that you have made in your past or your failures and you've lost your laugh. There are those here that you are discouraged over an aging and a decaying body. You're stressed out and you've lost your laugh. I admitted just a few minutes ago that I really do. I struggle with this in my very own life. Because whether it be my past experience, whether it be my personality, or whether it actually be my insecurities of life, through the years I have found myself building a wall up. Building up this wall, and I just do not seem to want to find a way to break that wall down. And it has molded me in such a way that I cannot seem to even break it down. And the happiness of laughter, it makes me mad sometimes. And I really find myself just really despising myself because I'm letting the devil rob me of my laugh, my happiness, my optimistic outlook upon life. And I get tired of it because these are days that you and I are never going to be able to get back. These are all very, very real things. But friends, the Lord knew that we were going to be dealing with all of these things. And he said, I do not want you as a result of this. I do not want you to do this. I did not design you to be this way. It does not please me for you to live an uptight life all the time in the middle of your adversity. I am not pleased with it. That's why that I told you, you can laugh in the middle of it. He knew that we were going to struggle. He knew that we were going to be stressed out. He knew that there were going to be days that we go through these hard seasons of life. He knew that we were going to lose some things in life. He knew that all of these things were going to happen. And he said, if you're not careful in the middle of your adversity, you're going to lose your testimony. You're going to lose your credibility for God. You're going to lose your future passions for God. So though he said that it's true that there is the pressures of adversity, there is stress, he then turns around in verse 22 to give us the prescription of assistance. He says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now this word merry that is given to it is psalmaic, is speaking literally of blithe. It is gleam, it is glad, it is joyful. All of these words, by the way, are connected directly with laughter. You know what Solomon is telling us here? He is letting us know that right in the middle of all of our adversity, all of the stress of our family burdens, all of the stress of our financial hardship, the regret from our past mistake, the discouragement in our aging and decaying bodies, all of the stress of the emotion of the worry, the anger, the self-pity, the regret, and the guilt of everything, in the middle of it all, we can still have a merry heart. We can still laugh in the middle of it. And you and I, we had better find a way to start doing this. Amen. Because he tells us that it does good just like a medicine. Just like a medicine. This word medicine that is given to us, it is gaha, and the word actually can be translated as a cure. In other words, when the adversity of life, that it comes upon us and life just gets overwhelming and it's not seeming to get any better. It is piling all the stress and all the things of life upon us. We feel like we've got no place else to go. And all of it has gotten so bad that we are now mentally and physically sick and it's only getting worse as a result of it. He says you've got to learn to laugh. Amen. Now, can I tell you that we've got to be a little bit careful with this? Now, as you read and you study this passage of Scripture, you'll notice it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's talking to you as an individual. It's talking to me as an individual. Now, yes, we can use our joy, our happiness, our laughter to encourage other people. Absolutely. But it is a lesson to us as individuals. It's something that we need to learn as individuals. I say that because I don't want to be misunderstood. I am not telling us to walk into a funeral home and in the middle of a grieving family and crack a joke. I am not telling us to go into circumstance like that and just start laughing. Just in the middle of a grieving family. I am not suggesting any of that at all. You've got to learn to read the room. You've literally got to know your audience. Laughter will then become a dagger in the heart of the people that you love the most and that they really do love you. And it will destroy relationships if we mistreat the circumstance that that dear loved one, that person that we love, is really dealing with. Laughter, you see, it is just different from no other medicine. It's no different from any other medicine. We have to take laughter at certain times and in certain prescribed dosage that is under the control and the direction of the doctor. And in our case as a Christian, that is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, without us being able to do this, we will divide relationships. We will not be able to help anybody. Without it, according to the Word of God, according to the Word of God, if we could just find a way to have a genuine and consistent spirit of laughter and happiness and just contentment, overall optimism of life in every way in the middle of all of the adversity of our life, he's letting us know that it is going to, at minimum, assist in making it better. Our church, listen to me, it may even cure it altogether. It may even cure it altogether. Now, I don't know how that all works. but it may cure it altogether. Have you ever noticed that you've just gotten sick? You're just fatigued? You're just worn out? You can sleep as much as you want. It's not getting better. I mean, you can get as much sunshine as you want. It's not getting better. You can hang around your friends and family as much as you want. It's not getting better. You and I have got to start looking and digging into maybe a deeper reason for why these things are such a struggle for us. Norman Cousins, he tells the story of what happened to him when he was diagnosed with a crippling disease and illness. When he was diagnosed as it being incurable, Cousins checked himself into the hospital. And when he got all the details of what was wrong with him and being incurable, what'd he do? He checked himself out of the hospital. I've known a few other people that have done that. Aware of the harmful effects that a negative environment actually does, Cousins just believed that the reverse must be true as well. That a positive environment will bring positive results in it. So what did he do? He borrowed a movie projector. He prescribed his own treatment, and it consisted of Marx Brothers films and reruns of Candid Camera, that old show. That was a funny show, wasn't it? He soon learned that 10 minutes of laughter proved to give him 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Amazingly, within just a matter of a few months, his debilitating disease was cured. And he was over it. After the story was published into the New England Journal of Medicine, Cousins received nearly 3,000 letters from appreciative physicians thanking him for sharing his story. Insomnia, did you know this? It is a gripping condition that thousands of people are dealing with all over the place, believers as well. Could it be that the cure for insomnia is trying to get ourselves out of the darkness of all of the dark circumstances of our life and just trying to learn to laugh again? Could it be what will help us sleep a little bit better is if every night we just sit down and we try to laugh, we just strive to have a good time, setting our adversity aside for a little while. We just try to have a good time laughing, and it might amaze us at how much better we'll sleep, and getting good rest might change the way we feel in our bodies as well. Now, I'm told that that story about Norman Cousins, I'm told that it is a true story. But everybody that knows me, you know that I'm not God. I don't claim to be God. So therefore, I am not telling you that the same thing will happen to you if you are faced with the same type of condition. I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you right now is I cannot explain it. I cannot put all the pieces together. But the Word of God tells us that in the middle of our adversity, mentally and physically, everything that is going on, somehow, if we'll just have a merry heart and we will learn to laugh again, it'll help with all the negative effects that we are dealing with in our life. The adverse effects cannot just get better, but they could even go away entirely. That's in the hand of God. Furthermore, you know something else we need to do? We need to learn to start laughing at ourselves. Stop right now and just think of some of the moronic, some of the boneheaded, some of the idiotic things that we have done through the years. Last Wednesday, I went down to have lunch with Bill Fisher downtown Chattanooga. We had a good time, and we were walking back across the street there, ML King. We were walking back across, about to go into the front entrance of his office. I wasn't paying a bit of attention. I was telling him a story about something that had happened to me on an adjacent street years and years ago. About 2 o'clock in the morning when we were loading up some equipment, probably 15, whatever years ago. I was telling him about, wasn't paying a lick of attention. And the front door of their office is not a normal front door. It's one of those rotating doors. You know, you get in a section and you go in because you go in a circle. You know what I'm talking about? Wasn't paying a bit of attention. He walks in and I'm just following and I run straight into the door. Did he tell you about that? Just run straight into the door. Didn't even see it. Wasn't even paying attention. I mean, I'm like, goodness gracious, the security guard just looks over there and he drops his head. He's trying his best not to laugh. I thought about that this week. We are guilty of doing some of the dumbest things. And we've got to start learning to laugh at ourselves and stop being such a dignified stick in the mud. Amen. You and I are not perfect. We are not the vacancy for the Trinity if there ever is one. Realize the fact that we need to laugh at one another. You've all heard of actor and comedian Carol Burnett. Carol Burnett, one day, she was in a downtown metropolitan city of the United States, and Carol Burnett, she got out of a cab and she slammed the door of the cab without realizing that she had gotten her coat stuck in the door of the cab. The driver was unaware of this, and he began to edge out into traffic, and so to keep from being pulled off of her feet, Carol Burnett began to jog alongside of the cab and had to do so for over a block. A passerby or saw her predicament, and he waved down the cab driver and made him aware of what the situation was. The driver stopped the cab. He jumped out of the cab. He released her coat and then anxiously said, "Miss Burnett, I'm so sorry. Are you all right?" To which Carol Burnett replied with a gasp, "Yes, but how much more do I owe you?" And she then began laughing at the foolish mistake that she just made. And sometimes when you're in the moments of adversity, when you're in the dark hours of life, there may not be other people or other entertainment around you to give you a merry heart. Sometimes you've got to look back to the days you're walking through downtown Chattanooga and you ran into a door. Sometimes you've got to look at the days you got the car stuck on a curb in downtown. Sometimes you've got to look at the times that you just made a fool and a moron out of yourself, and you've got to learn to start laughing if you're going to have a merry heart, even in the middle of the mistakes and the adversities of all our lives. We've got to start to learn to laugh again. Habakkuk said it this way. He said, "Happy is the person who can laugh at himself. He will never cease to be amused." I know very well that there are people here and you're struggling with matters. You've got matters going on in your life. You came in here. I mean, you got issues in your marriage. You've got issues with your kids. You've got issues. You don't know how you're going to pay this week's bills. You've got issues physically. You've got all these things that are just overwhelming to you. They are adversity in your life. Your mind is consumed with them. You have a hard time listening to the choir sing. You have a hard time singing with the congregation. You're not locked into the Word of God and the preaching because your mind is so consumed with all of these adversities of life. I'm not making light of any of those things. I know that they are very, very real because you're stressed out about each one of them. But tonight, for just a few minutes, would you humor me for about 30 seconds? Would you just humor me for about 30 seconds? And I want you to work with me on this. And I want you to get out of your dignity. I want to get out of your stick-in-the-mud type personality, like I have. And I want you to learn to laugh just a little bit. Brother Daniel, I want you to give me the greatest laugh that you can. Stand up right here, and I want you to laugh, brother, as loud, as silly, as crazy, and as hard as you can. I'm not telling you a joke. Think of me running into a door in downtown Chattanooga. Bill is no doubt trying not to tell me what a moron I am. The security guard is trying not to make fun of me. He knew who I was, and he was trying not to make fun of me. Think of all the people passing by on a busy downtown street at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and all the dumb things you've done as well. I want you to give me a laugh. Try. That's good. Go ahead. Yeah, why not? See, he's getting it now. Do you still have your phone on you? Do you still have your ringtone? Do you have that? Take it off. The only time you can call somebody, Tim, call Brother Daniel's phone. Put it right up against the microphone here. All right, turn up as high as it'll go. Call his phone. I like this. This is good. Listen closely. That's pretty good, isn't it? Don't trip. Jared, I want you to give me the greatest laugh you got. Come on, man. Come on. Your daddy did a good job. I want you to outdo your daddy right now, okay? Come on, take it. Come on. Just look at Cody's face. That'll make you laugh. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Come on.
I got a thing. I got a thing.
Come on, baby. Come on.
How am I supposed to do better?
I don't know. Figure it out. Come on. Okay, pass the mic to Ethan over here. He's laughing at you. Come on. Hurry up. Hurry up. Come on. There you go. Give
me
a good laugh.
I need something.
Give me a good laugh. Come on.
I need something. Somebody.
That's messed up, man. That's messed up. All right, Veronica, give me a laugh. Come on now. Give it to me. Give it to me. All right. She was in the choir tonight. No, no, go ahead. I need another one of those. Go ahead.
Stop.
Come on, Tiff.
I can't laugh.
You got it. Come on. Come on now. Yes, it is. It's all good.
I'm trying.
She's trying. She did a good job. She did a good job. All right, now listen to me. Now listen to me. That, what turned into 5 minutes, did not do away with any adversity that you were faced with. You're going to get up and walk out of here in just a little while, and you're going to be faced with the same family burdens. You're going to be faced with the same financial heartaches. You're going to be faced with the very same burdens of body and regret in life that you ever had when you walked in here. But here's the point. For 4 or 5 minutes, you didn't think one time about it, did you? You set it aside for just a little while. Your mind and your body was relieved of the stress, of the laughter that you just had. And somehow, it just for a little while made everything that much better. Imagine what life would be like if we learned to live in a spirit of a merry heart every moment that we are awake. We didn't even know what we were laughing at, but there was something about it that was just enjoyable. Because you saw somebody else and you saw other people having a merry heart. And the people of God need to embrace this. Some would have said it this way. Laughter is the jam on the toast of life. It adds flavor. It keeps it from being too dry. And it makes it so much easier to swallow. That's what laughter is. Life is hard to swallow. Life is dry. Life is just difficult sometimes. But church, it's time to start laughing again. And may God help us to do that. That's all right. Everybody lock back in now. Let's look at the serious part about it, though, okay? There's not only the pressures of adversity, and then there's the prescription of assistance, but I want you to think for just a second about the promptness of attention. This thing's got to change quickly in our lives. Now, look at the rest of the verse, okay? We just talked about the first part of it, didn't we? It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Look at this statement. Look at it. But a broken spirit drieth the bone. A broken spirit drieth the bones? What in the world does that mean? That's a very interesting statement, isn't it? Well, the fact is, it actually takes us all the way back and it connects us to one of the greatest Old Testament passages of Scripture in the entire Bible, and it is found in Ezekiel chapter number 37. And it is that wonderful passage of Scripture where God told the man of God, Ezekiel, to go out to a valley filled with a bunch of old dry bones. And he said, I want you to go preach to those dry bones. And then in verse number 11 of that experience, it says this. And then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now listen to this. Behold, they say our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. You ever felt hopeless? You've just got no hope in your situation. Laughter matters. It's your bones. They're drying up because there's no genuine laughter in your life. You see, dried up bones that Ezekiel 37 is talking about, it is actually speaking of those type bones. They have lost their vitality because they are all of a sudden no longer saturated with the marrow and the boils that it takes to bring and to produce active, pain-free life. This is what we need to understand. Our sour, our unhappy, our lack of optimism in the good things of God in our life, our broken spirits, our lack of laughter in this life, do you know what it's doing? It is drying up our bones. And it is slowly, sadly, and it is surely killing each one of us. Our lack of a merry heart because of all of the various adversities, it is killing us mentally. It is killing us physically. But if you're saved today, it ought to convict you, as I confess that it had to me, because it's killing us spiritually. We're dying in here. We're dying in the church. That's why the church is dying. All across this nation. Because of simple little principles just like this, it is killing us. And I don't know about you, but I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it in my life. I'm tired of it in the life of professing believers. It's killing us. Our bones are drying up. People who are drying up spiritually, they do not believe it. But the debilitating condition of their spiritual life is so obvious to everybody else. Have y'all ever seen somebody that is spiritually debilitating? They're going the wrong way. They will try their best to convince you, I'm fine. Everything is all right. I've got this under control, but they are debilitating in their condition, and it is so clear to everybody else. And they can't see it yet because those people have seen God on those folks' faces before. And there is nothing that you can do to create a front that is real enough that will ever replace the countenance of God's glory that was once on your face. And you can try to convince everybody all day long, I'm fine. I've got it all under control. I know what I'm doing. When in reality, your bones are drying up and you're clueless to your true spiritual condition. And when you try to challenge anybody on that and let them know, they resent it. Because they don't believe it. But in reality, their bones are drying up. There's no joy in their life anymore. There's no happiness. There's no real laughter. People today, ladies and gentlemen, are in this condition everywhere. Maybe right here. Is it possible? I think it is. I've admitted I've been there. And maybe tonight some of you just need to do what I've confessed to you that I've had to do. And I've literally repeatedly over the past several weeks had to fall down before the Lord and say, Dear God, I'm not treating the symptoms of my dried up bones anymore, God. My heart is not merry as it should be. I'm no longer willing to live a life that way. I'm tired of it. I want the joy of God. I want a spirit to rest upon my life. I want the world to look at me, and I want them to see it, and I don't ever want them to look at me and say, why do they not have that joy and that happiness like the countenance that they once had upon them? If we're truly saved, our hearts should be filled with genuine laughter. Our homes should be filled with genuine laughter. Our house of worship should be filled with genuine laughter. Now, I know that in our day today that this is a controversial subject. And it may be controversial here. I've not heard that. But church is not supposed to be boring. Church is not supposed to be dead. You ought to come to church with a merry heart because you can. Because you can get out of your bed. Because you can drive yourself to the house of God. Because there is no COVID that is keeping you away anymore for now. Because there is no government that is telling us that we can't meet for now. There ought to be a joy. There ought to be a happiness. There ought to be a laughter that translate from your bed to you getting ready. That translate from your home to your car. That translate from your car to the parking lots. That translates from the parking lots into the house of God, because we feed off of one another. And this business of not worshiping God, we talked about it this morning, is not in the Word of God. Amen. It's not right. And I tell you, there's joy in heaven today. They're celebrating in heaven today. And I believe that what Solomon is giving us here is just a prelude to what heaven's going to be like. If we'll just learn to laugh, we'll get a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. You and I keep each other going. And the last thing that we need to do is look in your face or you look in my face and be discouraged by the sour, amen, dried up, discouraging countenance, amen, upon our face. I told you this morning that the test of that one that is anchored in the rock of Jesus Christ when their life is falling apart is when you can look and you can see God's grace upon them. And folks, though we have adversity, the test of who we really are for God is that this world around us can't even see the adversity because of the joy, the happiness, and the laughter. It's time to start laughing again. Let's stand to our feet. The altars of God, they are always open.